Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 21, and the Reverend Brian Gauthier is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Today's reading is from Hebrews chapter 13. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Obey and pray. Authority and responsibility. These words from Hebrews 13 are words with which you should have familiarity, as they are quoted in the Table of Duties out of the Small Catechism. These words pertain to the estate of the church. The three estates, the church, the family, and the state, are best explained as the way that God orders human life in spheres of structured relationships or hierarchies for the purpose of giving and protecting life, both temporal and eternal. At the top of each hierarchy or estate is God himself as the ultimate authority. Now, these estates, they're not a Luther innovation, but he does offer a fresh take on them in light of the gospel. And this particular framework permeates all of his thinking. Personally, I think the three estates are incredibly valuable for our own critical reflection as they broadly deal with authority and responsibility. The words of today's reading pertain to the estate of the church in particular. That is, the Lord's authority and our responsibility. The estate of the church, as Luther describes it, was established in the Garden of Eden when God preached the word to Adam in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded to the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Command and promise, law and gospel. God preaches the word to Adam, and Adam believes it. That is the estate of the church. Luther writes in his Genesis 1-5 commentary, and I quote, "It is useful to note also that God gave Adam word, worship, and religion in its barest, purest, and simplest form, in which there is nothing laborious, nothing elaborate. For he does not prescribe the slaughter of oxen, the burning of incense, vows, fastings, and other tortures of the body. Only this he wants, that he praise God, that he thank him, that he rejoice in the Lord, and that he obey him by not eating from the forbidden tree." Even prior to writing of this commentary, Luther describes the estate of the church in this manner, words that are probably a bit more familiar. "God be praised. A seven-year-old child knows what the church is, holy believers and the little sheep who hear their shepherd. This holiness does not consist of surplices and tonsures, long albs, or other ceremonies of theirs that they have invented over and above the Holy Scriptures. Its holiness exists in the Word of God and true faith." Word and faith. It is through the estate of the church, that is, through the word preached, that God gives life eternal. But this idyllic situation in Genesis 2 does not endure. Using the words from our text today, Adam obeys and submits or yields himself to another word, to the word of the serpent, resulting in sin's entrance into creation. It is for that reason that the author to the book of Hebrews needs to exhort the hearers to obey and submit or yield oneself to their spiritual leaders. The human being needs to be reminded and commanded to obey and submit himself to the very word that brings about life eternal. Because man's natural posture is resistant to the word. And isn't that the sad state of the fallen world? The very estate through which God gives eternal life, the estate of the church, that is the proclamation of the word, is held in such low esteem. By most worldly standards, the church is something to be ridiculed and subjected to mockery for its seemingly irrelevant message and antiquated code of conduct. But I suppose that really shouldn't surprise us. Jesus said as much about the world in John 15. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. But maybe what's more shocking is that that is often the posture Christians take towards the estate of the church and those who serve in that estate. Sometimes it's out of shame. It's easier to scoff at the church's servants and their inadequacies than to deal with one's own past sinful behavior. Sometimes it's ignorance. While people go to church, they don't pay a lot of attention to the church's preaching and teaching, and so they're easily blown to and fro by each new ideology. But for many, maybe for you, it's a simple hard-heartedness towards the spiritual oversight of pastors and the authority to which pastors submit themselves, the Word of God. After all, we live in the land of the free, where personal autonomy is cherished above all else. In a world of AI, WebMD, and YouTube, we have little need for shepherds to watch over our souls. We are experts ourselves, capable of self-diagnosis and self-care. And so often, you submit yourself to your pastor insofar as it doesn't chafe with your own autonomy. Or you make the church something more than it ought to be. Luther understood the church as the preaching of God to Adam and Adam believing, word and faith. Yet we often make the church about anything and everything more than word and faith. And that, friends in Christ, requires your repentance. For the estate of the church was established so that the word would go forth and be believed, and through it life eternal granted. God established the church in Eden so that his authority would be extended to all men through the preaching of his word. Likewise, God instituted pastors whose preaching and teaching is not their own, but that of the word, that of Christ himself. For he himself stands at the top of this hierarchy. Pastors submit themselves to the authority of Christ and to his word and bear the responsibility of caring for your soul. So there is also an authority under which you fall. You need to obey and submit yourself to your pastor's teachings, to the word of God. But as our text rightly points out, you also bear a responsibility as one who dwells in the estate of the church. Not only do you submit to the word, but you are responsible for praying for those who proclaim it, the church's servants, that they remain steadfast and faithful in their calling. You're to pray for your pastor that he does not sin, and when he does, that he repents and seeks forgiveness. Why? Because this is how God extends his authority and his care to you. By the word of command and promise through human agents, so that you believe, repent, and are forgiven. For when the first Adam failed to obey and submit himself to the word of God in Genesis 3, the second Adam did not. Jesus obeyed his Father's word and will and submitted himself to it. St. Paul writes in Romans 5, "For as by one man's," that is Adam's, "disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the second Adam, Jesus, the many will be made righteous." The resurrected and ascended Jesus is Lord of the church, and his authority extends over all of heaven and earth. Yet this same Jesus not only rules the church, but has bound himself to it in sacrificial love and service. Paul says of this Lord Jesus that he is not only the head and the church his body, but that he is its Savior, and that he sanctifies her, cleansing her with the washing of water and the word, Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus rules his church, yet he also cares for his church. And he does so through the public ministry. Through the word proclaimed and the sacraments administered, as Christ commanded, sins are forgiven, sinners are made righteous, Christians are shaped and formed after the image of the Son, and the rebellious are called to repentance. The estate of the church, word and faith, was established in Eden and has endured the fall. This estate continues to preach the word both in command and promise, law and gospel, so that sinners, so that you repent and be forgiven. And what great comfort we have that with all the ebbs and flows of this tumultuous age, Christ himself has promised that his church will endure and that not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. Life eternal, given through the gospel for the sake of Christ, proclaimed into your ears, placed into your hands and mouths for the forgiveness of your sins. Authority and responsibility. Believe that word and submit yourself to the authority of the Lord. Pray for your pastors that do this important work. For even as you fall under the authority in this estate, you also bear a responsibility. And you do all of this while you rest in the hands of your Lord Jesus, who continually brings his word into your lives, equipping you, as the author of Hebrews 13 says, with every good to do his will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.